bullet point was we were trying to come to some sort of a consensus about what that would be. Did you see the minutes?
I have not seen the minutes, no, I apologize.
Okay.
Let me grab Jim and Tony Alden.
So, that being the correction to the minutes, I have a motion that we approve them.
I'll make the motion, we approve them with the correction on.
Okay.
I second it.
All right, then we'll move right to DDPG update. Mr. Belwar, do you want to take the meeting from this point?
Yes, sir, thank you. All right, so coming out of our most recent meeting and discussion, as well as taking into account the August 7th letter from Mr. Waldron, I revised the proposed curative zoning amendment and circulated that for the board. What I did in revising it was accept all the changes that I had proposed previously with some of the changes that were discussed. For instance, instead of 7 uninterrupted days for any guest for the lodging facility, it's up to 14 at the request of Mr. Walker. So you'll see I made some additional changes there in red. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to go through them. Then what I did was look at the Bensalem Township ordinance and the Field Township ordinances and listed a few of the talking points that I took from those ordinances that we may want to address as we go forward this evening. That's the summary of where we stand with this. I think there's been a fair amount of progress on the proposed ordinance from the original proposed by Mr. Waldron, taking into account all of the comments and additions that have been suggested, and I'm open to any issues that anybody sees. And if there are none, why don't I start with the list of additional talking points taken from the Bensalem Township and the Smithfield Township ordinances, and we'll go through them. There's about 8 of them, I think it is. We'll go through them and see if anybody has thoughts as to whether to include or don't bother including, whatever your thoughts may be. First item is a feasibility and compatibility plan showing things like environmental constraints, and this is taken from the Smithfield ordinance. And this would be a plan that comes before the township in the context of the conditional use. So it's not a fully engineered plan. We understand Mr. Waldron's concern. He doesn't want to fully engineer his plan at the conditional use phase, but it will give the PC and then the Board of Supervisors more of a window into whether the proposal works, taking into account things like environmental constraints. Make sense to include something like that?
I'd like to comment. The whole point of going through this exercise with the curative amendment was to try and develop standards that are going to have to be followed, and the requirement that you have to get a conditional use approval if you're even going to be able to do this planned commercial development. To add on another level of process, I mean, quite frankly, that looks like something I'd be trying to show if I was getting you to change your comprehensive plan, not to get a zoning approval. It seems like, you know, there was a time way back when where we used to have things called environmental impact statements that you had to do. That was before all of the environmental regulations got laid down, you know what I'm talking about, over the, particularly in the 70s and 80s, and even into the 90s.
But, Mr. Waldron, is your point that with additional environmental regulations over the years that there's no need for
conditional
use? Yeah. We lost him.
I think we lost Andrew.
Yeah. lost the connection altogether?
I was wondering if it was a disconnect because there's multiple people in there, right?
Yeah, it's here. It's got to be here. Everybody's down.
Because there were two or three people on them. They wouldn't all go off at once.
That's right.
Although, it looks like people are trying to come back on, but I'm not sure. Oh, there we are.
I think they're back.
Welcome back.
I think everyone's back.
So, all right.
Yes, okay, well, I think my point was that the process involving conditional use, in fact, during the break there, Patrick pointed out a lot of the things that are the categories anyway that are in this list here are part of the conditional use. You're right. We didn't want to have to get into every detail because that should be more land development stage. But certainly we do have to address those things. But I think they're already there. I see this as the type of thing that would be put in where you might have a floating commercial development district. And you'd have to say whether it belonged in that particular district versus another. But here we only have one real commercial district, and it's the DD zone. So I think that it's superfluous, it just seems to me, to have to go through that process, regardless of whether it's my client or somebody else. If you have to go through the conditional use process and ideally follow the reasonable sections of this memo we're trying to put down.
So it's
not... would not be a requirement of a fully engineered plan, mm-hmm. but rather a plan that is sketches out, if you will, how things will work together. For instance, how your proposed roads will connect with existing roads, where the open space would be located, as opposed to simply saying, yeah, we'll provide an acre of open space somewhere.
But that is on the plan that Patrick put together in January. Or in December,
correct.
Submitted. It did address correct. Those things.
It addressed existing conditions, environmental factors, as well as proposed. For example, we did have wetlands investigated. We did locate area for stormwater outfalls, including contours. We have steep slopes located. Existing vegetated areas non-tree, non-forested areas. We do have connections with the roadways shown. We do have proposed environmental factors like the proposed sanitary and how we're connecting the utilities and a lot of that. And we do have areas not specifically spelled out, but that's maybe because we haven't gotten to the specific requirement for green space. But we did discuss it and have been working towards it.
Okay, good. Well, it sounds like we're on the same page then. And what I think the township needs to protect against is an applicant who's not as on top of things as you are. And so if you have these already as part of your conditional use plan, then great, you're fine. But it's that next guy that comes in that doesn't include those things. That's what this section would be pointed toward.
But I think the ordinance does say, here's the things we want to see on any conditional use plan, I believe. And many of those, I think most of those would be covered. Now, if it's a 2-acre lot and I'm going to put an office building on there, no, there's not going to be a lot of open space to address or even maybe not that much stormwater stuff and all. But I don't think those things get skipped over at the conditional use plan. And I do agree, those things need to be, you know, addressed in some way.
Are you saying the conditional use section requires some of these items?
There are details that you have to show on the, you can't just walk in with a cocktail napkin, if you will. You have to have an engineered plan that addresses, I believe, most of these categories, if not each and everything, depending on the type of project you're dealing with.
Okay. All right. Then it's addition to, but this is seems to be a little more comprehensive. And maybe the township wants that in the context of a conditional use for this type of use. So I leave it to the Planning Commission. Thoughts on that?
I think we have to go back to your thought that it's fine if this applicant has provided that, but is there any assurance that the next applicant is going to provide that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you're coming from. The other thing that I have a question or concern about is the second word, feasibility. And that's written in the ordinance elsewhere that, and feasibility, I'm assuming in this circumstance, just there needs to be some sort of a proof for the need for the development that you're proposing. Is that where that's coming from?
No, to my mind, feasibility is more the ability to, for the pieces to fit together, to work together.
Okay.
You know, if there's a need to include some things in your ordinance that that have to be shown on any conditional use plan when applicable, that's okay. I don't think that's a problem. But I'm reading this as a separate plan. It doesn't say conditional use plan, and yet what we have to show in the conditional use plan is pretty comprehensive. I don't think there's that much other than feasibility. And then we get into the question, if you're already saying that this is zoned for commercial and your comprehensive plan says this is where commercial belongs, then why should we have to demonstrate feasibility? You know, it sounds like, oh, that's a reason to say, nah, we don't think that belongs there. Well, then maybe your ordinance, you know, those things underlie and say that that is true. And you know, quite frankly, one of the concerns that still remains in the curative amendment is that it seems like the commercial use is being minimized in an area where it's supposed to be commercial development. And you know, the Pennsylvania has always held that you have to provide for all uses. And yes, the township does have a commercial district that allows some commercial uses, but it does put some fairly significant restrictions on those things. And that's not really what you're supposed to be providing in the community. Now, if you didn't have a state highway going down here, that'd be different. If it was all completely rural and back roads, but that's not exactly a back road out there, you know? So I think that, now, having said that, that doesn't mean to say that we just say, oh, we want to do this, let's go in and do it. I think the plan that we developed, while it might not be exactly what the ordinance is now going to allow for, if this ever gets adopted, certainly covers a lot of these details that are being talked about here.
Let me ask Patrick a question.
Sure.
The design that you did, was that all from the conditional use section of our ordinance, or was that from being in here discussing things?
So this plan has been almost exactly the same since December. It was based on the conditional use requirements in the ordinance, as well as, you know, generally accepted land development requirements that I've been familiar with over the years. So yeah, it is based on the requirements of the conditional use, and it you know, a lot of these things I would normally do as part of a project. Am I trying to provide my client with what he wants? You know, we need to work out all those environmental factors.
My point is the stuff that you just added because of what your client would have wanted that wasn't in our ordinance, that's the stuff we're kind of looking at.
Okay.
As to what needs to be in the ordinance to keep it along the lines of what you're looking at doing.
Okay. I think first thing I did, I opened up the section of the ordinance, and you have a pretty detailed section for conditional use.
Okay.
And I went line by line and made sure that all those items were addressed in the plan.
Okay, and then added some.
Yeah.
The add-ons are what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, well, I had to make sure that, one, we get on lot sanitary, and to make sure we're connecting to the road properly, make sure he's getting the square footages that he's interested in and the proposed uses. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely added on to it, yeah.
Okay. You know where I'm going.
I'm going to suggest that we knock out the phrase feasibility and compatibility and just require a plan showing these various things, environmental constraints, roads, etc. Again, just to give you the big picture of what's being proposed. I don't think that's going to be onerous, and nobody's going to get hung up on feasibility and compatibility.
Right.
That makes sense?
Well, then the plan would, I believe the plan would still be the conditional use plan. So since the ordinance starts off by saying that if this gets adopted, any PUCD, which is the plan unit commercial development, has to be a conditional use. And then it can say, and these things need to be showed on the conditional use plan.
Right.
We're comfortable you're already doing that, but you know, that would make sense.
Again.
And that would slim it down from a separate procedure. Like I said, I think this is kind of taking a little bit out of context, not wrongfully, but it, there are, I looked at some ordinances where you have the right to do this in several zones, but you have to show that it's feasible in the particular zone you pick. We're only dealing with one
Recording
zone.
Recording in progress.
So it's not as complicated, but I think that's part of the reason why they're putting another level of determination on it that I don't believe is needed when it's already in the development zone, the development district, rather.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll take a look at the conditional use requirements generally. Mm-hmm. I'll look at paragraph 8, submittal, in the draft ordinance that we have, and then I'll look at what Smithfield has as regards to this plan, and I'll add in things that maybe aren't there presently, mm-hmm. so that in case we don't have as conscientious an engineer as we have tonight, that things will be addressed.
I would agree with that. That's exactly what I was talking about.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. All right. I'll get that. Number two is architectural and design standards for the entire project. This is Smithfield section 4 with some subparagraphs there. Is that something that you all want to see? Some design standards for the entire project so that from an architectural perspective, it fits together, as opposed to building A that's totally distinct from building B. Is that a significant item for you all?
I don't believe the ordinance has architectural standards in it now to any particular extent, at least not that I'm aware of. I could be wrong.
I mean,
because then the question is, do we show you what we're thinking of doing? Well, yeah, we can do that. But what criteria says whether it's right or not? Mm-hmm. Normally the ordinance has to have those. And usually if you're going to have those, you're going to have those for all non-residential uses, not just in this type of a setting. Because after all, if we're going to do a nice compatible setting here, is it really going to match with the folks down the road? Probably not, unless everybody follows the same rules, you know.
But the where the issue is going to come into play is when somebody takes over the buildings, mm-hmm. and they got their design standards, their sign standards, and they got their blueprint of how everything's going to be put together. That's
just
gonna...
if I may, there's a section in the zoning ordinance 417 that is commercial industrial site design guidelines. And it's my understanding that that section has to be complied with for conditional uses also. And since Patrick is there, maybe he can address whether he looked at that one too.
If it's a, I apologize, I'm not familiar with 417, but maybe I don't have that.
It's the lighting parking and accessory buildings, drainage, driveway, road construction. It's basically a set of performance standards for all non-residential uses.
That all sounds like framing.
Yeah, so, and I think we acknowledge that we'll comply with all requirements of the ordinances of the township. You know, for example, parking and signages, right. Sign will definitely be permits associated with it.
Well, the purpose of this type of a development is to cluster things and to have something that's compatible as far as one business to another. So why wouldn't it be reasonable to see what the architectural standards are going to be? If they're all going to be, it's just to prove that they're all going to be compatible, that they're going to have, you know, there's no way that we can control what AutoZone does and when they're each doing it on a separate piece of property. But the idea of this, the whole purpose of this is to cluster your development together. So why wouldn't there be symmetry among the whole thing? I think we're getting in the weeds. I don't know. Is that where you were going with this, Andy?
Can Jim have a comment?
Yeah, no, I would say who would evaluate that architecture? Different tenants are going to have different designs that they want to look at. I think it's
I don't think the intent of this would be to dictate what you have to do. but to see what you are doing so that it is compatible, so that you don't have buildings on top of each other that are completely different.
We have made suggestions in the past, just like the AutoZone, that, you know, none of the other buildings are around are just a big square box.
Right.
They need to have some type of, you know, fitment to the rest of the area. So.
And I'm looking at section 417 that Attorney McNatta mentioned, and 417.1 says that the design and location should be suitable for the use intended and compatible with natural man-made surroundings. New buildings, for example, should be placed, talks about where it fits on a field. Then it goes on to say, not protrude above tree lines. I'm skipping through some of that, because then the last thing says, building color, materials, and design should be adapted to surroundings as opposed to adaptation of the site to the building or the building in an arbitrary, to an arbitrary national franchise concept. There are some ideas that, you know, you say, well, obviously they need their sign if there happen to be a chain type of thing. But that doesn't mean to say their building can't be, you know, have some compatibility to the buildings that are nearby. At least I've seen that.
Yeah.
The Wawa down there, you know, it's compatible to the building that happens to be on the other side of the entrance road or whatever, in terms of a facade, for example, you know.
Tony, we can live with that language that you just read.
Yeah, and that's in your ordinance.
I think the key here is going to be building facade, building materials, and the types of different lighting fixtures, light poles, etc.
Well, in terms of it, you know, a representation kind of thing as part of conditional use, which is also a good, oftentimes a good selling point to say, this is what we're envisioning it looking like.
Yeah, as long as
that shows some of those same things, I agree. I think the more detailed part of it probably should still be at the land development stage, to make sure that it fits in, including exactly how the buildings are going to sit on the property. I mean, they're not going to go from here over to there, but they might angle a little bit this way versus that way when you're getting to land development within the 20,000 square foot area or whatever it is, right?
Also, Tony, the retailers want to have input into it. And at a conditional use stage, you don't necessarily have those tenants, and you won't until the plan develops for down the road. So there has to be flexibility. We can't show this is what it's going to look like. We can certainly, you know, discuss those things that you read in the ordinance, that makes sense. We can live with that.
Well, we're not asking you to say what exactly each building is going to look like, just that it would meet the requirements of the ordinance.
I think the term generally used with this type of thing is this clustered development has to have similar rhythm. The buildings need to, you know, now what it specifically is there is one thing. The other thing, and it's clear in the other language from our ordinance, is we're not particularly concerned with what corporate logo needs to be. That hasn't impressed either one of these boards that Dunkin' Donuts has to have their colors, or, well, you know, especially in this type of an instance, I think getting way out of whack with colors and design, I think we need to be careful with. That's only my personal opinion.
No, that's that's how we've been operating.
Right.
I mean that's the AutoZone changed the complete look of their building from originally being a square box to looking more like the one they built in Warwick, New York. And it's a nicer design. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The colors are a little different on the building. They're more of tones.
As well did Dollar General.
Yeah, as Dollar General too did the same thing.
Right.
And you know, really in the past, you've been this route before. Do you get a big argument from them as far as corporate build? Because I know they all have their cookie gutter.
Well, they all want to give you their plan 12A and not re-engineer anything. I mean, that's and we appreciate that. We're all business people ourselves. But That's not necessarily what we want you to bring to Melford Township, you know, so.
All right, based upon that, let me try to work up some language and see if that's acceptable on all fronts on that. The next two items more or less go hand in hand, pedestrian access standards and then dumpster screening and landscaping standards. Why would you address them? Because you have a dense development. And so you want to make sure that the pedestrians are cared for. You want to make sure that dumpsters aren't out in the open, things like that, as opposed to if you had a single use on a single lot, you have, to my mind, more room to address some of these things. So there's Smithfield Section 4H addresses some of the pedestrian possibilities here. And then I and J address the dumpster screening and landscaping standards.
Pedestrian access within the confines of the specific development, is that what I'm understanding?
Okay. That's exactly right. Okay. So that the pedestrians have safe access from the parking area into one building and maybe even getting over to the next building.
Yeah, like a crosswalk.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
And the traffic flow, you might need to have a crosswalk if there is a connection where somebody might go from one business to another, I would agree. Yeah. And obviously to walk up into the building or walk around the building, there needs to be a sidewalk.
Yeah, especially with shared parking and going to that.
Yeah.
And the dumpster screening, I think the positioning of the dumpsters, because you're trying to condense the parking, is a real safety issue. That the dumpsters, if you're going to put buildings together, should two sets of dumpsters be together?
Yeah, might
should
make sense
should
to share.
Should they, you know, yep. Should they be consolidating that and having them under the same screen and doing those sort of things? So I would be more concerned about that at that. I'm sorry, Andy, I'm getting ahead of you.
No, he brought that up.
The dumpster and the parking, to my mind, go together because of the density of a proposal. And to the applicant, I know you'd prefer to delay this until land development, but I've seen situations before, I'm sure PC has as well, where you get married to the positioning of your buildings, and then along comes these different requirements. Safety for the pedestrians, where do you place the dumpsters, how about the buffering, and all of a sudden you have to move your building. So it just makes sense to me that this is front loaded as opposed to waiting till the back end.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
I mean, certainly at least the concept and then a little more details. It would be, I mean, yes, it makes sense. In terms of exactly what size it needs to be or whatever.
I don't think we're getting the land
development stage is when we'll have a better idea of who the tenants will be, and that might make it easier to pin that down, you know. But the idea of having a location for it and you know, having it not interfere with the traffic parking part of things, I think that makes sense.
Or when you go to your next stage, they know it needs to accompany the
right,
last one that was built.
Or
there needs to be.
Okay, that makes sense. I'll fold that into the proposed ordinance. Next item I have is sign standards with a question mark. I don't have a reference to either of the two other ordinances because I don't know the extent to which your present ordinance addresses sign requirements and standards and the extent to which you want to address that in the context of a dense development like this.
Mike, good for-